Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. All of Psalm 27. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity to come to you in prayer each and every day. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to hear from heaven every day as we spend time with you in prayer, as we read and meditate on your word, as we ponder your word, as we seek your face and seek your voice, your wisdom, your counsel, and your understanding. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to live lives, prayer-filled lives, where we living a life filled with seeking you, listening to you, following you. Empower us to be the seeking church you've called us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for revealing yourself through Abraham, Isaac, through Jacob, for being their God. And Father, thank you so much for revealing yourself in Jesus so perfectly. Father, you are the one true God. And Father, we just praise you for that right now. And Father, Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us into growing in your likeness as you have called us to be. Father, we ask that you would teach us more about your love so that we could grow more in your image. Thank you so much in your heavenly and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you again for choosing to be a part of our listening family today. On a pretty regular basis, we're encouraging you to become a faithful student of God's Word. You know, one of the goals behind that is the reality is God's Word is much more important to any and all of us than we realize in our minds, in our finite minds. The Lord Jesus told us in the Word of God in Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. You know, God's word literally is more important to us than the breath that we breathe. Now, we may not fully comprehend that, but it's really, really true. The word of God is the key to everything. Remember, God's word is Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, as John chapter 1 tells us. So, Jesus Christ is the word of God, and the word of God is Jesus. They're one in the same. So when you're reading the Bible, you're spending time one-on-one with the Lord. And so today specifically, we're inviting you to consider and think on the topic, God's Word Seeking the Lord. God's Word Seeking the Lord. Now, we've shared on a number of occasions that, you know, the work of reading and meditating on God's Word, of course, that's a form of prayer. So when you read the Word of God, yes, you're reading His Word. It's a form of reading God's Word. It's a form of seeking God, communing with God, meditating on the Word of God. It can be that as well. But yes, spending time reading and meditating on Scripture is a form of prayer as well. But specifically, when we think of the whole topic of seeking God, a good question to ask is, what exactly does that mean? Well, the fact is, when we seek God, we're pursuing Him. We're spending time with Him, but we're pursuing, drawing closer and closer and closer to Him as well. I want to invite you to look in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, a familiar story of Christ when He was a very small child. But I want you to keep in mind this very important truth. Jesus, at every age, was God, fully God, never stopped being God. So when Jesus was in the womb of Mary, He was God. When Jesus was born, He was God. When Jesus was a little baby that needed his diaper changed and needed to be fed and taken care of, He was God. He never stopped being God. But at the same time, there's mystery there, because how in the world can the creator of the universe be a little, or at least appear to be a little helpless baby? There's a lot of mystery behind that. Yet God is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And remember, the Word of God is the autobiography of God. It's a book by God, about God. It's a book about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it's by God the Father, by God the Son, by God the Holy Spirit as well. And so specifically here in Luke chapter 2, it tells of Christ when He's 12 years old, and of course a familiar passage, picking up Luke chapter 2, verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing Him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought Him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find Him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking Him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. So when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said to Him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And He said to them, "Why did you seek Me? Did you not know that I must be about My Father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which He spoke to them. Then He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But His mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Verses 41 to 52, Luke chapter 2. Now again, many interesting insights to be drawn from this powerful passage of Christ. Even as a child, His every action was actually inspiring and powerful to consider. Remember this, Jesus always followed the Holy Spirit. He never deviated from what the Holy Spirit wanted Him to do. Jesus was not a mischievous child. He served God and honored God in the things He did as a child, as well as an adult. And so when Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, He wasn't being bad or mischievous. He was doing what the Spirit of God directed Him to do. Apparently, it was for Him to stay behind. Well, interesting that Mary and Joseph, they were a ways on their way home when they started looking for Him and didn't realize He wasn't amongst the relatives and acquaintances they were traveling with. Notice again, verse 45 says, "So when they did not find Him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking Him." Now, note too, in both those verses, actually reading verses 44 and 45, notice it mentions they sought Him and then they were seeking Him. Listen to verses 44 and 45 once again. "But supposing Him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought Him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now again, I want to focus on the whole idea of seeking Christ, seeking God. So at a certain point in time, Mary and Joseph realized he was not amongst the company that they were traveling with. And so they began to seek him. They didn't find him at first. And so they hurried back to Jerusalem, and it took them 3 days to find Jesus where they did find him. Note again, continuing verse 46, it says, "Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions." Now, I think for truth reasons and prophetic reasons, interesting that it took them basically 3 days to find him. Just as Jesus died on the cross and 3 days later rose again from the dead. So there's, I think, great prophetic significance there too. But after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Verse 47 indicates, "And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." Again, Jesus, even at 12 years of age, demonstrated great wisdom, insight, grace, and grace upon him, even as a 12-year-old boy. Verse 40, it says, "So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.'" Now, it appears Mary is a little bit aggravated at Jesus and upset. And so she asks him again, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." But Jesus gives a very mature, very honorable, but a very wise response. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And so as we look at the topic of seeking God, I want you to think about that, this important truth. You know, we live in a world where lots of people say in one way or another, they're seeking God. They're looking for God. They're trying to find God. Or sometimes they may say they're trying to find the answers to life and trying to find out what life is all about. It is so important that we understand that Jesus is the Word of God and the Word of God is Jesus. If you want to find Jesus, you can look in the Word any day of the week, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You can always find Jesus in the Word of God because he is the Word of God. If you want to come to know God, the fact is, look in the Word of God and you'll find the Savior of the world in all of the Word of God. I'm reminded of two individuals, the names of which are relatively familiar to us, to some maybe more so than others, but the names Josh McDowell and Lee Strobel, two great servants of the Lord who have, amongst other things, been involved in the wonderful work of evangelism for decades in our culture. But both of them, in their earlier life, were atheists. Both of them sought to, for whatever reason, to disprove the existence of Jesus Christ. But in the midst of their pursuing what they were trying to do, both of them made the big mistake of reading the Bible. They started reading the Word of God, and the Spirit of God reached through the Word of God and touched their hearts, and both of them got saved. And today, they're used mightily of God to proclaim the gospel to the world. Remember, you can always find Jesus in the Word of God. You can always find Jesus in the Word of God. So when you're reading the Word of God, when you're reading the Bible, Jesus can always be found there. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And the fact is, the Holy Spirit permeates the Word of God. As we said, the Bible is an autobiography about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the fact is, all three of them, the three persons of the Trinity, permeate the whole Word of God, whether you perceive that or not. So it's certainly true. Lord, thank you for the fact that we can always find Jesus in the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Help us to be wise enough to make the most of this truth and to point people to Jesus and his Word continually as a lifestyle. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We'll be right back.
Bread of life, sent down from glory. Many think you were on earth a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living Word. Faith now,
bread of life,
come on,
sent down from glory. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Send down from glory.
Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Awesome ruler,
awesome ruler,
gentle redeemer, God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you
are an
awesome ruler,
gentle redeemer,
together. This is what we like to call you, Jesus.
That's what we music of Fred Hammond with You Are the Living Word. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, God's Word, Seeking the Lord. And I want to invite you to look with us now in the book of Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And this is actually a chapter that every believer is wise to read often because, amongst other things, it encourages us to follow the Lord courageously and boldly. And, you know, to genuinely follow Jesus, that's what it's going to take. Because the fact is, the devil will try to intimidate us, to make us fearful, to make us timid about obeying the things God has called us to do individually and collectively as well. And so reading Joshua 1 often is a wise thing for believers to do. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verses 1 through 9 of Joshua chapter 1. Reading verse 9 one more time. Again, it says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then looking in Psalm 1, it tells us these words. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All of Psalm 1. And keep in mind, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 tells us, Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, again, we're looking today at the topic, God's Word, Seeking the Lord. A good question, again, to often ask ourselves, what does it mean to really seek the Lord, and am I really seeking Him? We seek God as we spend time in His Word. We seek God as we spend time with Him in prayer. We seek God and follow God as we obey what He's called us to do. Seeking first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, that's a matter, basically that means we're as a lifestyle, we're pursuing God's will, what He wants us to do. We're seeking to carry out what He's called us to do, what He's seeking to direct each and every one of us as His children to do. And a big part of seeking God is staying in close fellowship relationship with Him each and every day. Isaac wanted to ask you, was anything on your heart that you wanted to share in relation to what we're looking at today?
Sure. First off, one of my favorite phrases from Scripture is just that command, seek my face. For us, like, for the face in Hebrew culture, to turn your face in a direction wasn't just, you know, to turn and look in that direction. It was a spiritual orientation. It was setting your mind on something. When Jesus turns His face to Jerusalem, He sets and determines Himself to follow God's plan for Him in Jerusalem. And so to seek the Lord's face is like to completely redirect your intentions towards getting to know God more. And I just love that imagery of the physical orientation setting the emotional and spiritual and soulful power of will, so to say, we're focusing everything we have at that. And another thing that I've been thinking about is, it's really easy for us to make assumptions about things. We generalize. We have shortcuts in our minds, in our brains, and it helps us process stuff. And we are going to have assumptions about God that are not biblical. That's just going to happen. As we read through stuff, we'll say, this main thing is probably one of the big personality traits of God. And sometimes we might miss some of the undertones where it shows like, okay, yes, He is all powerful. Look at Him on the mountaintop, you know, with the Elijah and all the miracles that Elijah saw. And then look at the gentle whisper. I've heard some sermons say like that He's showing that He is a gentle, personal God. He had to show that to Elijah because He was also the massive miracle-bringing God. Mm-hmm. The guy outran a horse. Like, He called fire down from heaven. He was fed by birds, bringing him food. He outran a horse, like, I think it was 80 miles or something. I don't remember how far, but it's a really far distance. And so this guy was used to these massive miracles when he's expecting God to just be a big miracle God. And God said, no, I'm not just that. I'm also personal. So there we have like a beautiful picture of Elijah not doing the best job at seeking the Lord, but God going out of His way to help him see, hey, let's break that assumption. And let me show you more about who I truly am. And I think coming in with that mindset is really, really healthy and really, really helpful. Let me go to Scripture and see, am I making assumptions about who God is and how He treats us? Am I making assumptions about His personality, so to say, about how I'm supposed to be living? What can I learn more that's more accurate to get to know Him better?
Mm-hmm. You know, again, thank you for sharing those that wisdom and insight, Isaac. I would say this too, that like really in line with what you're speaking of, one of the many reasons why it's so important for us to always be diligent students of Scripture is because God is always going to teach us more and more about who He is, what His personality is, in line with what you're speaking of. And so the fact is, that's why it's so wise for us to always be students of Scripture that are reading and studying, because in all 66 books, you find different aspects of the character of God, who He is and what He does and what He's about. The character of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as well. And again, though we don't see God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit mentions in every verse of the Bible per se, they're there. They're there. And so you learn about the character of God as you read and study the Word of God on a daily basis. So the fact is, a critical part of being a disciple is no matter what else you do, always be diligent and committed to studying the Word, because that's your one-on-one time with Jesus. And he's teaching us, guiding us, molding and shaping us. So can't overemphasize how important our time with Jesus in his word is every single day.
One of the most beautiful things that I like to think about is how God is infinite, like completely infinite.
Mm-hmm.
And that means for eternity, we get to know him better.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to learn everything we can about God because there's always going to be more goodness about him to learn.
That's right.
And so right now is where that starts. Right now, Jesus says that he's got the Holy Spirit with us now. We've got scripture, God's word, and God is who he says he is perfectly. So we get to start that adventure, start that relationship deeper and deeper, more intimately now.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets to continue forever. And I just find that so beautiful.
Really, really is, yeah. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38, once again, a familiar passage, but a very powerful passage with a lot of insight for all of us to learn from. Luke 10, beginning at verse 38. Now, it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Verses 38 to 42, Luke chapter 10. You know, amongst other things, this passage is teaching us that we're called as believers to have a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. You know, it doesn't mean that we're not to be busy. You know, the world is busy, life is busy, but it's clearly helping, it's teaching us that one of the high priorities of every believer is to be a diligent student of the Word of God. And, you know, when we take the time to read and meditate on the Word of God, that's one of the ways whereby we sit at the feet of Jesus, listen to him, learn from him, and allow him to work on us, to mold and shape us more and more. Note in this passage, too, that very clearly, two sisters, both of them loved Jesus and appreciated Jesus and were just glad to have him in their home. But note the two very different approaches of the two sisters. Again, both of them loved the Lord, both of them glad to have him in their home. But Martha is, again, if you can picture her, maybe cooking, cleaning, getting ready for a house full of guests, probably fixing a big dinner. And if you can picture sweating in the kitchen and all of a sudden realizing, I need help from my sister. Where is Mary? And looking around, she's not at the door getting ready to come help her. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. And note, too, the picture appears to be one of where she's not worried about dinner. Doesn't look like she's getting ready to come help her sister. She's enthralled at the idea, Jesus is in my home. I'm going to sit at his feet and listen and learn from him as much as I can. Well, if you can picture this in your mind, that when Martha realizes her sister Mary is not getting ready to come help her, picture her coming to the door. And notice, too, what it says. She comes and it appears basically Martha's upset. She's clearly upset, so much so that she scolds Jesus. Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Now, why does she scold Jesus? Maybe she thinks, well, I don't want to hurt Mary. I won't yell at her. I'm going to yell at Jesus because Jesus isn't telling her to help me. But note, again, in Martha's mind, Martha's right, Mary's wrong. But note what the scripture and Jesus clearly point out to us. Note, verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. To be distracted means to be pulled away from the more important thing. And scripture points out Martha was the distracted one, not Mary. Mary was doing exactly what she was supposed to do, sitting at the feet of Jesus while he was in her home, listening and learning. And so note then Jesus' response. Jesus graciously responds to Martha. Martha, Martha, he wants to get her attention. He says her name twice. He wants to get her to settle down and listen to what he says. You are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Very clearly, the word of the counsel the clear direction and counsel of the Word of God and Jesus as well. Clearly let it be known, Mary's not the distracted one, Martha is. Mary is wisely sitting at Jesus' feet, listening and learning. And Martha would have been wise to do the same thing. Now, probably the disciples were probably thinking, yeah, Mary, get up and help. We're hungry. But not Jesus. Jesus is grateful to have a student who wants to listen and learn. And he's glad to have Mary at his feet to listen and learn. And he would have been fine with Mary if Martha had sat down and did the very same thing. Father, thank you for the many important insights and lessons in this powerful short passage that teaches about priorities, that teaches about priorities we as disciples are to have, one of which being the priority of being a diligent student of your word, one who reads and meditates on your word every single day. Help us to learn to walk in the same kind of wisdom that Mary did in this passage, being a diligent student, sitting at your feet, listening and learning from you every day of our lives. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, God's Word, Seeking the Lord. We'll be right back. Music of Mandisa with God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, today we're looking at the topic, God's Word, Seeking the Lord. And, you know, as we're directed time and time again to live a lifestyle of seeking the Lord, one of the wonderful and great ways we do that is as we take time to read and meditate on the Word of God on a daily basis, to think on His Word, to mull over God's Word in our hearts and our minds. Because again, if you want to find Jesus, you find Him always in the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So you can learn more about Jesus as you read and study all of God's Word, every single book found there. I want to take time now to go through the books of the Bible and share one of the titles that exhibit Christ's character found in that book. So we want to pick up in the book of Genesis and go all the way through. In Genesis, the Lord Jesus, He's the Creator and the promised Redeemer. In Exodus, He's the Passover Lamb. In Leviticus, He's our great high priest. In the book of Numbers, He's the water in the desert and the water of life. In Deuteronomy, He becomes the curse for us and He's the law. In Joshua, He's the commander of the army of the Lord. In Judges, He delivers us from injustice. In Ruth, He's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 Samuel, He's all in one. He's the prophet and the priest and our great king. In 2 Samuel, He's the king of grace and love. In 1 Kings, He's a ruler greater than Solomon. In 2 Kings, He's the powerful prophet. And going back to First Kings, again, he's the ruler greater than Solomon. And Second King, he's the powerful prophet. In the book of First Chronicles, he's the son of David that's coming to rule. In Second Chronicles, he's the king who reigns eternally. In Ezra, he's the priest proclaiming freedom. In Nehemiah, he's the one who restores what is broken down. In Esther, he's the protector of his people. In Job, he's the mediator between God and man. In Psalms, he's our song in the morning and in the night. In Proverbs, he's our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's our meaning for life. In the book of Song of Solomon, he's the author of faithful love. In Isaiah, he's the suffering servant. In Jeremiah, he's the weeping Messiah. In Lamentation, he assumes God's wrath for us. In Ezekiel, he's the Son of Man. In Daniel, he's the stranger in the fire with us. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband, even when we run away. In Joel, he's sending his spirit to his people. He is sending his spirit to his people. In the book of Amos, he delivers justice to the oppressed. In Obadiah, he's the judge of all those who do evil. In Jonah, he's the great missionary. In Micah, he casts our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. In Nahum, he proclaims future world peace we cannot even imagine. In Habakkuk, he crushes injustice. In Zephaniah, he's the warrior who saves. In Haggai, he restores our worship. In the book of Zechariah, he prophesies a Messiah pierced for us. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness who brings healing. In Matthew, he's the Messiah who is our king. In Mark, he's the Messiah who is a servant. In Luke, he's the Messiah who is a deliverer. In John, he's the Messiah who is God in the flesh. In the book of Acts, he's the Spirit who dwells in his people. In Romans, he's the righteousness of God. 1 Corinthians, he's the power and love of God. In 2 Corinthians, he's the down payment of what's to come. In Galatians, he is our very life. In Ephesians, he's the unity of our church. In Philippians, he's the joy of our life. In Colossians, he holds the supreme position in all things. In 1 Thessalonians, he's our comfort in the last days. In 2 Thessalonians, he's our returning king. In 1 Timothy, he's our savior of the worst of sinners. In 2 Timothy, he's the leader of the leaders. In Titus, he's our foundation of truth. In Philemon, he's our mediator. In Hebrews, he's our high priest. In James, he's the maturer of our faith. In 1 Peter, he's our hope in times of suffering. In 2 Peter, he's the one who guards us from false teaching. In 1 John, he's the source of all fellowship. In 2 John, he's God in the flesh. In 3 John, he's the source of all truth. In Jude, he protects us from stumbling. In Revelation, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end, and he's our coming, and he's coming again, and he is the one who makes all things new. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Word of God, and we find him, his character, and who he is in all 66 books of the whole Bible. Lord, thank you again for the wonderful gift of your Word. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to seek you any day of the week, any time of the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as we simply open your Word and spend time reading and meditating and thinking on your Word. We get to spend time with you, listening to you, sitting at your feet, learning from you, allowing you the opportunity to mold us, to shape us, to become more and more like you. And you give us our marching orders to go forward as kingdom warriors, to carry out your work, your assignment, that which you've called us to do, the conquest you've called us to carry out in the world. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you, being able to listen to you and learn from you every day in your Word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, again, keep in mind, too, as we read and study the Word of God, that's one of the ways whereby we seek God. As we take time to pray, to worship and praise God, that's one of the ways whereby we seek God. As we obey what God is calling us to do, that's another way whereby we seek God and seek to serve him, follow him and honor him in the way and the life that we live. We're called to live a life and a lifestyle of seeking God, and his word is a critical part of every aspect of seeking the Lord. We're to read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. So we're wise to put it to work in all seven ways every day of our lives. I want to take time now to pray Psalm 91 and want to remind you once again, if you're not praying Psalm 91 every day, please start today. And one of the reasons being is because we live in such a crazy, dangerous world. And in the midst of this crazy, dangerous world, no one can protect us like the Lord can. So if you're not praying it today, I would encourage you to start. If you want to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer, email us. We're glad to get it to you. Our encouragement is that you start praying it daily for yourself and over your family, but send it far and wide to family, friends, fellow church members, saved and unsaved individuals, but encourage people to pray it daily because, again, as you pray it daily, that's one more way of seeking God as well. Thank you, Lord, for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Thank you for all those that are part of our listening family right now. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today I say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let me remind you once again, also one of the prayer tools that we send out, and of course we like to send them out often, to listeners that email us to get a copy. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Please email us to get a copy of the prayer tool, Kingdom Prayers, because it has a number of Bible-based prayers that we're wise to pray every single day. Just like, you know, we all encourage listeners to pray Psalm 91 every day. For, again, it's a tool for supernatural protection, but also it's a tool to bless your physical health and physical well-being as well. So we'd encourage you to pray Psalm 91 every single day. But some of the other prayers included include the Lord's Prayer, praying the prayer of Jabez, the prayer of Isaiah found in Isaiah chapter 6, and a number of others that are based on the Word of God. Each of them are wise prayers to pray on a daily basis. Let's take time now to pray the prayer of Jabez. Thank you, Lord, for all those persons we've prayed for today. Thank you for all those, once again, that are part of our listening family now. Thank you for each and every one of us. Thank you for each of our families, and thank you for each of our callings. Thank you for each of our prayer lives, and thank you for each of our commitment of studying your word daily. Bless each of us, and each of these indeed expand our territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon us. Keep us from evil that we may not cause pain, in Jesus' name. And Father, set all of our prayer lives on fire today in a greater way. Set us on fire with an anointing to empower us to be the people of thanksgiving, praise, and worship you'd have us to be in the name of Jesus. And anoint us all afresh with the spirit of obedience that we would be faithful hearers and doers of your word. More and more help us to grow in understanding of the vital place of taking time to read and meditate on your word every day needs to be in our lives, and help us to live that out faithfully. We thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, we've been looking today at the topic, God's Word, Seeking the Lord. And we do appreciate you being a part of our listening family. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, If you're listening today and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to be saved and commit your life to Christ and spend eternity with God in heaven, would you take time now to pray this prayer from your heart with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins and all the wrongs I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live for you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to live a life in obedience to your word and your will daily. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and did give your life to Christ, we definitely want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Will you be sure and get in touch with us? Again, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that information and those resources to you. Again, we were looking at the topic, God's Word, Seeking the Lord. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.